الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to eDars.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected scholars, brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, the irony of our reflection today is that unfortunately it is very, very short-lived. Whatever happenings, whatever tragedies, whatever catastrophes come around us and we reflect and we ponder and we introspect and we contemplate, the irony of our reflection is it's very short-lived. If I understand correctly, Allah guide me and one and all, the interpretation of reflection ought to mean in my humble understanding, that we abandon a life of sin and we embrace a life of piety. This in essence is reflection for a believer. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu had to take the reins of the Islamic empire, then at this juncture Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu anhu said, ذهب الذين أحبهم فيا دنيا عليك السلام. Those people whom we loved, honored and cherished, the likes of Abu Bakr, have left this world and passed on. So at the death and at the separation of Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu said that while we bid farewell to Abu Bakr, O world and its temptations, I bid farewell to you at the same time. What did Umar radiallahu anhu say? While I lower Abu Bakr in the grave, at the same time I separate myself from this world. And then he said, لا تذكرين العيش فإن العيش لي بعدهم حرام. O world, don't ever try and tempt me with your beauty and your adornment, because I consider leisure and pleasure forbidden after Abu Bakr is gone. إِنِّي رَضِيعُ وِصَالِهِمْ وَالطِّفْلُ يُؤْلِمُهُ الْفِصَامُ. I liken myself to a child who has been suckled by his mother, and I was suckled by Abu Bakr. And the tragic death of Abu Bakr is like a child that has been suckled by his mother, and tragically the mother dies, and instantly the child has to be weaned off the chest of his mother. Can you imagine the restlessness of that child whose mother tragically dies in an accident and the child is still being suckled? What restless. In other words, the child was not gradually weaned off. Fitam in Arabic means to wean off. Fatima. Inni radi'u wifalihim wa tiflu yu'limuhu al-fitamu. And, you know, weaning is not a pleasant process. The child goes through pain and restlessness. So the sudden death of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leaves me like a child that is restless at the death of his mother. Now we've got to reflect over ourselves and ask ourselves, how many tragedies haven't our eyes seen? We've seen the Turkey earthquake, considered it to be the worst, only to be followed by the earthquake in Iran. Consider it the worst of the decade, only to be succeeded by that which happened in tsunami. Took it to be the worst, and Allah alone knows what the future holds. Allah alone knows what the future holds. We barely sigh from one, and comes another one. And this is happening continuously. The tragedy is we're getting immune. This is the sad thing. We are getting immune to these happenings. So really, reflection is that we abandon a life of sin. Allah Ta'ala has constantly reminded us in the Quran of His absolute authority, His absolute sovereignty. I recited the verse of the Quran where Allah says, prior to Qiyamah, not one place, not one land, not one province or one particular region, the earth in its entirety will start shaking. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. Now if you study, inshallah, maybe one of the days, not today, maybe in the Jummah, I'll speak about my experiences in the tsunami. I had the opportunity to go, it's a topic of its own, and we'll explore it at length, inshallah, if time permits. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. Allah says, when the earth will be shaken to its maximum. When a quake takes place, it is not that the earth is out of Allah's control. No, no. Only that amount of ants will die, how much Allah has decreed, never mind humans. Only that amount of ants will die in a quake, how much Allah has ordained. Allah Ta'ala shows the strength, and hence the Quran says, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَا. Allah says, don't walk arrogantly on this earth, this very earth can swallow you. Allah Ta'ala says, don't stagger on this earth. You know, the arrogance with which some people walk. Allah says, this very earth can swallow you. When the janazah is brought to the grave, this person, the deceased is brought, then an angel announces, and an angel says, يَبْنَ آدَمْ خَرَجْتَ مِنَ التُّرَابِ وَعُدْتَ إِلَى التُّرَابِ خَرَجْتَ بِلَا ذَنْبٍ وَعُدْتَ وَكُلُّكَ ذُنُوبُ. O man, you started from sand, and you returned to sand. The only difference is you started sinless, and you returned full of sins. You came from sand, you returned to sand. But when you came, you were sinless. And when you return, you have nothing but sins. What else do you have? وَعُدْتَ وَكُلُّكَ ذُنُوبُ. Everything that you have is sins. So Allah Ta'ala says, the earth will be shaken. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. And look at the beauty of the Arabic language. If you look at the word zilzal, there's a shake in the very word of it. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. You know, in the very pronunciation, there is a shake. Allah Ta'ala says, when the earth will be shaken to its maximum. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And the earth will throw forth its burden. The earth will split and throw out. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, it will throw out chunks of gold. It will throw out chunks of gold. It will throw out valuable minerals. It will throw out dead bodies. It will just throw out. Man will say, وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. Man will say, what is wrong with this ground? What is wrong with this land? What's happening? You know, a person is not driving properly. So what's wrong with this driver? Is he right? What's happening to this person? Man will say, what is wrong with this earth? مَا لَهَا. People will pass by chunks of gold, the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then nobody will need it. It's Qiyamah. What am I going to do with this? And people will look at the chunks of gold and say, because of this I severed ties with my brother. Because of this I disobeyed Allah. Because of this I forsake the obedience of Allah. They will look at it, nobody will touch it, but regret that this is the thing that divided us. So man will say, what is wrong? وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. What is wrong? يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. Allah Ta'ala says, that day when the land will speak up and own up. What will it speak? Allah, on this land at this time, this man made zina on me. It will own up everything. You know, nowadays you get a printout. You know, you just punch it in and you get a full detailed printout. So there's a whole rundown on you immediately. Every action of yours has been tracked, has been monitored. So the earth will also now give off its printout. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. The earth will give forth and announce everything. Whatever was committed on this land will be announced. Why? بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَالَهَا. Because today Allah has commanded the earth to speak. يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم. That day people will gather in groups and in numbers and in scores to come and see their final results. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. The one who does an atom of good will see it. The one who does an iota of evil will see it. Now let me tell you what is reflection. You know, we've got to reflect over these tragedies. One person comes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says to him, and he says, O Nabi of Allah, give me advice. And then the Prophet ﷺ recites these two verses. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرٍ يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرٍ يَرَهُ. Whoever does any act of good, as minute as it may seem, he will see. He will see the benefit and the reward. And whoever does any act of sin, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha radiallahu anha, إِيَّاكِ وَمُحَقَّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ فَإِنَّ لَهَا مِنَ اللَّهِ طَالِبًا. Aisha, let me warn you of those crimes which people trivialize and consider minute. Believe me, Allah will take you to task for those sins. Allah will take you to task. So when he heard these two verses, he said, يَكْفِينِي ذَرَّتَان. يَكْفِينِي ذَرَّتَان. O Nabi of Allah, these two atoms, atom of good and atom of evil, I think that advice is sufficient for me. And the way he embraced it with such commitment, the Prophet ﷺ said, دَعُوهُ فَقَدْ فَقُهَ فِي الدِّينِ. Leave this man alone. Allah has now granted him the total understanding of deen. One verse of the Quran he pledged. Now this is reflection. Unfortunately, the irony of our reflection is it is too short-lived. And hence Allah Ta'ala is increasing the reminders. Allah is increasing the reminders. I said it on the occasion of tsunami and I say it again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a group will be advancing towards the Kaaba prior to Qiyamah. And as they will be advancing towards the Kaaba, we know the final sign of Qiyamah is when a person will come and he will start destroying the Kaaba brick by brick. And this will now bring Allah's wrath to its climax. This will bring Allah's anger to its pinnacle. And then Allah will destroy the entire universe. But as this group will be advancing towards the Kaaba to attack, to launch, يُخْصَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ. The earth will split and swallow. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, كَيْفَ يُخْصَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ وَفِيهِمْ أَسْوَاقُهُمْ وَالْوَمَنْ لَيْسَ مَعَهُمْ. O Nabi of Allah, can I ask you a question? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ask, what is it, Aisha? He says, there will be a lot of innocent people that will be walking there, whose intentions will not be to strike the Kaaba, but they will be part of those who will be in this evil intention. The earth will swallow all of them, O Nabi of Allah, while some of them will be innocent. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, on this earth, Allah will not differentiate. The earth will swallow all. Then Allah will resurrect them respectively according to their intention. So whose swallowing will be azab, that remains the choice of Allah. Whose swallowing will be a test and hence a form of mercy, that is the choice of Allah. It is not our decision to decide. We will never become judgmental on the tragedies of humanity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-ghariqu fil jannah. A person who drowns is martyred. And Allah destroyed the nation of Nuh also with water. So whose drowning is an azab and whose drowning is a mercy is the exclusive prerogative of Allah. No human is at liberty. Never did the humankind ever comprehend the logic of Allah and the wisdom of Allah. But how unfair of man, when things like this happen, then oftenly it brings into the media again the topic of faith. And many questions are posed, you know, from different sectors and different sections people ask, but where is the kind Almighty, the loving, the caring, the compassionate, where is he? How unkind of man that every time he fails to comprehend the wisdom of Allah, which is 99 times, he considers it barbaric. Then I guess on our definition, every father is unkind because never did a child comprehend the wisdom of his father. If what you don't understand is unkind, harsh and crude, then we are the most unkind parents. When did our children ever appreciate the wisdom we told them? It always contradicts their logic. It always contradicts their logic. Allah Ta'ala's wisdom is beyond our understanding. Allah Ta'ala's hikmat is beyond our comprehension. But what I am saying is that we need to reflect sincerely and ask ourselves, what more will it take? What more will it take for me to now sincerely change my life? What more will it take? How many more global catastrophes do I have to hear, see or witness for a definite change to come in my life? I'm not there to judge you and tell you, my brother, what is wrong. You know your wrongs, I know mine are wrongs. I know what is wrong in my life, you know what is wrong in your life. Measure yourself. This is again another deception of our time. That we measure our piety in relation to people whom Allah has not made the basis of comparison. So we console ourselves by saying that I am better than my brother because I perform salah, number one. My children are better than my neighbor's children. My children know how to read Quran. My neighbor's children don't even go for Jummah. My wife is more pious. She at least in Ramadan puts on some hijab. My cousin's wife never ever puts on the hijab. So we give up ourselves the notion that we're pious. My brother, Allah will not match your wife with your neighbor's wife. Allah will match your wife with the Fatima of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is how Allah will judge you. Allah will match you with Sahaba. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If they produce the faith of Sahaba, tell them they enjoy the ranks of Sahaba. Allah will not match us with these people. We just consoling ourselves. We pacifying ourselves. Oh, I'm moving, I'm progressing, I'm okay, I'm pious. This is just conceited about ourselves. This is not how Allah is going to judge us. So the yardstick through which piety will be measured are Sahaba. I must reflect my life on Sahaba. And then I must decide where I am. From there I must decide how close I am to Allah Ta'ala. And then I can decide, you know, am I making practical steps or not? There is a lengthy hadith and I just run through it briefly. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when certain vices will become common, then he did not say earthquakes will happen, he said then wait for earthquakes. He said then you must wait for it. You know, like you tell a child, you're daring me, you're provoking me, now I'll show you. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when the sequence of events happen in the following way, then you wait and see what earthquakes Allah sends. Again, I said, as I said in the morning, it's not the people of Pakistan, it's not the people of Indonesia, it's the world in its entirety. Humanity is daring Allah. Humanity is challenging Allah. Allah Ta'ala has ordained certain things, and we are, in everything, we want to interrupt the system of nature. In everything. Nothing that Allah Ta'ala said we want to diligently comply to. We always want to, we find the orders of Allah to be restricting our freedom, restricting our choices, restricting our movement. So we introduce this system, we introduce that system, we abort this child, we have same-sex marriages, we have everything that go against all divine scriptures. That go against all divine scriptures. Obviously, as the hadith says, that Allah Ta'ala, you know, the scholars explain that the worst person is one who kills a Nabi or who is murdered by a Nabi. The two worst people are one who kills a Nabi. Obviously, it's evident that he is the worst person simply because he's killed the Prophet of Allah. But the scholars also explain a person who is killed by a Prophet is also very evil. Why? Because a prophet is an embodiment of compassion and mercy. You have to be really wicked for such a kind man to kill you. You have to be really, really wicked for such a kind man to kill you. Now, Allah who is so kind, who is so merciful, who is so loving, who is so caring, But the actions of humanity are provoking even such a kind Allah. If they're in such a merciful Allah, you know, you find a person that is tolerant, that is forbearant, that is patient, that is, you know, passive, but sometimes even he comes to a point where he loses it. He loses it. And, you know, he's driven to that limit and that extreme. And man's mercy and kindness is very limited. Allah Ta'ala has, you study the Quran and Hadith to get a glimpse of the vastness of the clemency of the Almighty. And how infinite His mercy is, and how extending His grace and His respite is. He gave respite to people who claim to be Allah. Imagine, you know, when you're talking of respite, people who dared Him to that level, they said, I'm Allah, Allah is not Allah, I'm Allah. Fir'aun said, Zaruni aqtul Musa wal yad'u Rabba. Leave me alone, I'm going to kill Musa, and he must call his Allah can do me nothing. That's the Quran says. Now Allah gave grace to such people. What did He say? Zaruni, leave me alone. Aqtul Musa, I'm going to kill Musa. Wal yad'u Rabba, he must call his Allah can do me nothing. Allah's grace and respite and tolerance and forbearance went to such levels. But today man has come to a point that in everything man is challenging Allah's knowledge. Man is challenging Allah's wisdom. And the tragedy is we're still not learning the right lessons. We are still not learning the right lessons. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I briefly run you through this hadith, just few points. إِذَا اتُّخِذَ الْفَيْءُ دِوَلَىٰ وَالْأَمَانَةُ مَغْنَمَا وَالزَّكَاةُ مَغْرَمَا. A time will come when people will abuse amanat. People will abuse trust. People will abuse the positions in which they are. You see a person today working for someone, how he abuses the position in which. He abuses the car, he abuses the phone, he abuses the gas, he abuses everything. He is in a trust and an amana. He's not in liberty to use it as he wants to. He abuses it. وَالزَّكَاةُ مَغْرَمَا. And people will consider zakat as a penalty, as a tax, as a burden. How sad. You know, I often mention, we should be grateful to Allah that while some people wait for Ramadan to receive zakat, Allah has made us those who discard zakat. Imagine we were those that were waiting for Ramadan that we'll also get hampers, Ya Allah. How kind that you've made us those that come Ramadan, we give and don't receive. We are among the fortunate people that Allah has made, those that give, and we consider zakat as a burden. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُذَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Take that zakat and purify that wealth. Otherwise the wealth is contaminated. The wealth from which zakat is not given is contaminated. The Prophet ﷺ seen those two women with gold bangles. He said, you gave zakat. They said, no. He said, are you not afraid Allah makes those bangles into bangles of fire for you? Siwarini min nar. Allah will turn that into bracelets of fire. So people will consider zakat to be a burden. Was zakat to maghrama? I mean, I can, you know, run into details, but obviously I don't want to go into much time. Wa ata'a ar-rajulu imra'atahu wa aqta ummahu wa adna sadiqa. A person will obey his wife at the cost of the displeasure of his mother. وَأَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ وَعَقَّ أُمَّهُ. A person will obey his wife at the cost of the displeasure of his mother. Yesterday briefly I spoke about it. Again we find this happening where a person shuns his mother totally because the need of the hour is being provided by his wife. Is now matured, he has the physical need of a woman, and the need of that minute is being catered by his wife, so he forgets the kindness, the upbringing, the love of the years of his mother. And that's not all. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَأَدْنَا صَدِيقَهُ وَأَقْصَى أَبَاهُ. He will distance his father and he will draw his friend very close to him. So he will feel honored being introduced via his friend, and he will feel embarrassed being introduced via his father. You know, when you ask him, who's your father? Oh, you won't know my father. You know, Dr. So-and-so, we are colleagues. We are colleagues. You must have heard of the famous advocate. Myself and him are roommates. You know, they say this youngster went to study and then he graduated and he came back and obviously he had a PhD and academic degrees and he had so many titles attached to his name and all the profound, high-profile people came to receive him at the airport and give him a big welcome and, you know, acknowledge him. And in the corner there was one old age, orthodox type of simple dressing, traditional cultural type of old man sitting there. And, you know, he was obviously impressed by the presence and all the high-profile personnel around him. And then someone asked him, I see there's an old uncle standing there in the corner. Who's that? And obviously he was a bit embarrassed. He said, that's my father's friend. That's my father's friend. So the old man was a wise man. He says, don't say that. Say, that's my mother's friend. Say, that's my mother's friend. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the time will come. وَأَتَاهَا الرَّجُلُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ وَعَقَّ أُمَّهُ وَأَذِنَا صَدِيقَهُ وَأَقْصَى أَبَاهُ وَظَهَرَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Now, you might think, how is this tied up to quakes? But these are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People will raise their voices in the masajid continuously. Forgive me if I come across crude, but I really found this to be exceptionally objectionable in this masjid in particular, and my stay in the States. I found this to be something that I really couldn't digest. The manner in which the people conduct themselves, and I'm not in any position here to say anything unbecoming, forgive me, but I really found it something beyond my understanding, how discussions, how casual, how informal, how easy going in the house of Allah. وَظَهَرَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. People would sit and raise their voices in the masajid. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. A time is to come, you will find some people who will discuss worldly affairs in the masajid. فَلَا تُجَالِسُوهُمْ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ فِيهِمْ حَاجَةٌ. Oh my Sahabi, when you see them, don't sit by them, don't come close to them, Allah has nothing to do with them. وَظَهَرَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي, you know, it's like a hall. It's an easy-going, casual, entertaining hall. One of the signs of Qiyamah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, after which will come earthquakes, is when people will start raising their voices in the masajid. وَظَهَرَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَظَهَرَتِ الْقَيْنَاتُ وَالْمَعَازِفِ. And singing instruments and singing girls will become the order of the day. Singing instruments will become the order of the day. Before you get a negative perception of why challenges are coming on this ummah, and what is the reason that, you know, the ummah is going through such strain, you just go and look casually one Saturday night and see where the youth of this ummah is congregating. Go to clubs, Allah forgive, go to evil places. When you see where the youth of this ummah, who have the names of Ibrahim and Muhammad and Yusuf, who have the names of Fatima and Sumayya and Aisha, go and see the vices they perpetrate, go and see the crimes they commit. Then before you become negative and despondent, and you attach question marks with the choices of Allah, your questions will be answered in seconds, if not split seconds. Go and see what is the condition of this ummah. I was flying one place, and then I seen one brother. So he spoke to me in Arabic, everything. I said, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, it's nice to see there's a brother on the plane who speaks Arabic. I said, the next time, inshallah, Zohar time, I'll go and call him from his seat and we'll pray our salah together. When I got up Zohar time to go to his seat, he was totally intoxicated. Totally drunk. I didn't know where to put, this is just one. What I'm saying is, we have a lot of question marks and we wonder why, how, what's the reason. And sometimes Allah forbid, it starts bothering with our faith. And people start entertaining negative thoughts against Allah. People start entertaining negative thoughts against Allah. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a believer should only have noble beliefs about his Allah. He should only have good thoughts about his Allah. الأصوات في المساجد وظهرت القينات والمعابث وشربت الخمور and intoxicants and wine will be consumed in big numbers. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the harms of intoxicants and then he said a time will come that people will drink it. And then he said they will drink it by night and by morning the earth will swallow them and destroy them totally. There will be nothing left. So Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا مَا بَيَّنَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. How will people take these wrongs despite the fact that, you know, the clear-cut prohibitions will be mentioned? Will it be that these warnings won't reach them? Or how? You know, but we can't imagine that a Muslim is told it's forbidden, yet he takes it. How will this happen? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُسَمُّونَهَا بِغَيْرِ إِسْمِهَا فَيَسْتَحِلُّونَهَا. O my Sahaba, they will consume that very wine, the very thing which is intoxicating, but they will give it a different name. So they won't call it the something, you know, as an intoxicant, but what they will call it, they'll call it something soothing, to relax you, to calm you, to pacify you. They will give it different names, tranquilizers. They will call it tranquilizers, and they will be taking those very pills, and they will be taking those very substance and appeasing themselves that they are not doing something wrong. وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا فَرْتَقِبُوا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he mentions all the things. He says, when this happens, now listen. فَرْتَقِبُوا عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ رِيحًا حَمْرًا. After it, wait for stormy red winds. He says, wait for stormy red winds. فَرْتَقِبُوا عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ رِيحًا حَمْرًا. وَزَلْزَلَةً, and wait for earthquakes. فَرْتَقِبُوا عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ رِيحًا حَمْرًا وَزَلْزَلَةً وَقَذْفًا, and wait for the skies to shower stones. وَمَسْخًا, and wait for Allah to disfigure nations. وَآيَاتٍ تَتَابُعٍ كَنِظَامٍ قُطِعَتِ الْكُوفَ فَتَتَابَعَ. And divine tragedies will follow so rapidly in such succession, like how when the twine is broken and bead after bead follows in succession, that is how catastrophes will follow on humanity so rapidly. Really, brothers, it is time we reflect. We do some real soul searching, some severe, sincere soul searching. And we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that is permanent. We strengthen our bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا. Allah ta'ala says, how many localities? We read today in the Quran, مَا لَمْ نُمَكِّنْ لَكُمْ وَأَرْسَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِدْرَارًا. Nations that preceded you, we favored them with such wealth and comfort and luxury that it was unheard of. It was unheard of. فَأَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. But then their sins provoked us and we destroyed them. Again, let me conclude by saying we will never become judgmental on the treasury of any person. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تُظْهِرِ الشَّمَاتَةَ لِأَخِيكَ. It is not becoming of a believer to rejoice on the pain of any human, be it a believer or disbeliever. We are hurt and we are pained and we are disturbed, be it what happened in New Orleans, be it what happened there, wherever it is. The life of every human is precious and valuable and we respect the life of every human. And it hurts us and it pains us. But really, humanity needs to now heed Almighty Allah. We are moving, like the poet said it so beautifully. He says that we are moving into a new world. Nayi raah hai, naya darya. Naya nayi moje, naya sahil. He says that now it's a different ocean with brilliant, you know, waves and a wonderful ship. And then he gives like different metaphor. You know, in everything it's new, it's upgraded. So you no more ask for a physical address, you ask for an email address. You know, time is just moving, everything is just so progressive. He said, magar unme koi cheez pyar ke qabil nahi milti. Magar in mein koi cheez pyar ke qabil nahi milti, purani raah kya chuti ke ab tak manzil nahi milti. مگر ان میں کوئی چیز پیار کے قابل نہیں ملتی, پرانی راہ کیا چھوٹی کہ اب تک منزل نہیں ملتی. That while you are progressing, but nothing of your progress is literally enviable. It's not enviable, because in the process of your progressing, the legacy you lost on the way, the values you lost on the way, the morals you dropped on the way, is such that till today you can't find your destination. It's still a major debate for today, why are we on planet Earth? People don't know that. Ask a man why I'm here, he doesn't know. Why am I here? This is a question of debate, the very basics of life. So what does the poet say? You did this and you did that. Purani raah kya chuti ke ab tak manzil nahi milti. That what you've lost, look at the legacy, look at the values we've lost on the way. It's time we return to the Quran. Allah in a complaining phrase says, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. You know, you need to understand this in Arabic. Allah says, where are you leaving me and going? Where are you leaving me and going? You know, a child runs away, hey, where you off to? You know where you are. Child gets no concept. He just runs. He thinks everything is familiar, whether it's a shopping mall, he just goes. Allah says, where are you going? Where are you off to? فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run back to Allah. Run back to Allah. سَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Run back to the house of Allah. Again, you see that, you know, all these things come still to our masajid are not full. Still too, we are committing these crimes. Then really, it is the saddest thing. If all these things that have told on the ummah, and the night has darkened, and the tunnel looks so narrow, and the future looks so bleak, and even these things do not conscientize us about Allah, then really we need to ask ourselves, do we have a heart or do we have some rock here? The Quran says, وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Sometimes you're driving, you see this here, beware of falling rocks. The Quran says, those rocks fall out of my fear. Even the rock, Allah speaks about three types of rocks, how it splits in water, forth, come gushes forth. So how even a rock splits? But what has happened to this man that his heart is still not crying? His heart is still not crying. I leave you with one hadith. The Prophet ﷺ gave a talk, and everybody was emotional and everybody cried. But a sahabi by the name of Zayd radiallahu anhu, for some reason he could not cry. And I often say that in the gatherings of sahaba, the one that could not cry was the odd one. How unfortunately in our gatherings, the one that cries is the odd one. In our gathering, if someone cries, people will, you know, is he okay? What's happening? In the gatherings of sahaba, the one that could not cry was the odd one. He was isolated. He was singled out. So he came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, O Nabi of Allah, my heart, I need this heart to become soft. Now, calamities like this, if it can't bring us to cry, tragedies, catastrophes, lives, people going through pain, anxiety, what do I see? And it still can't make me tear. Eyes cannot, you know, tears cannot flow from my eyes. And I lose my job or I lose a few dollars and then I'm nervous and hysterical. And your lives are going and it means nothing to me. Then I really need to get my priorities sorted out. I really need to reprioritize. What is priority in my life? So the Prophet ﷺ said, listen, come I tell you why you cannot cry. He said, جمود العين من قصوة القلب وقصوة القلب من كثرة الذنوب وكثرة الذنوب من نسيان الموت ونسيان الموت من طول الأمل وطول الأمل من حب الدنيا وحب الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة. He said, جمود العين من قصوة القلب. The lack of tears over painful events, sad occasions, if you still cannot cry, it is a result of hard-heartedness. وَقَصْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ مِنْ كَثْرَةِ الذُّنُوبِ. And hard-heartedness is as a result of excessive sinning. وَكَثْرَةُ الذُّنُوبِ مِنْ نُسْيَانِ الْمَوْتِ. And excessive sinning is because you are unmindful of death. وَنِسْيَانُ الْمَوْتِ مِنْ طُولِ الْأَمَلِ. And you only become oblivious of death when you become ambitious in this world. وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ مِنْ حُبِّ الدُّنْيَا. And you only become ambitious in this world when you love this world. And when you love this world, it's the mother of all evils. That is the destiny the Prophet ﷺ has painted. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that He once again restore the honor and the dignity of the Muslim. And at this time, our heart goes out and we make sincere dua to Allah Ta'ala for all those that are in Pakistan, in Kashmir and in India, and all those that have recently been struck by the quake, and Muslims across the globe, and non-Muslims, whoever is going through whatever pain and difficulty, may Allah Ta'ala, through His divine help and aid, remove those difficulties and those tragedies, and sincerely let us cry to Allah, Allah, let us learn before it's too late. Allah, let our eyes open up before it's too late. I know in my own life, you know in your life, how many incidents, how many events, how many people we can point to around us that used to be here and are gone. He's gone, that one's gone, they passed away, she passed away, tragically they gone. In fact, the graveyards are getting full and this place is getting deserted. It's getting on and on. We can relate to hundreds around us, every man can. Allah Ta'ala give us the ability, we make this the point of reflection, and we embrace a life of total piety, inshallah. Subhanallah.